The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of many things. Hello. Welcome to Exposing the Masters Within, the one and only hour on radio or the internet dedicated solely to helping you expose yourself. My name is John Schulte. I'm here to serve you, to help you to know more of the truth about you. It's often said, looks can be deceiving. And we all know that the surface of things is, by definition, shallow. So thanks for joining me today as we journey through the looking glass to explore what's on the other side, to explore what's beneath the surface. We're here together to discover, uncover, and recover our masters within. You knew your mastery much more fully when you signed up for your on-earth sojourn. But you mostly forgot it soon after leaving the cozy confines of your mother's womb. You've rediscovered some inkling of it, or you wouldn't be listening to me now. So, it's time to remember the masters we are. It's time to reclaim the power we have. It's time for exposing the masters within. Let's get started.
Today is Sunday, November 27th, 2011, for those listening live. And it's whatever day you're listening, if you're listening to the recording. Welcome to the show. And happy Thanksgiving weekend. I hope you all had a wonderful Thanksgiving, whatever you may have done or not done for that day. But it definitely is a good energy to remember. And saw a cartoon, and I don't know what it was. But the question that was asked by the little kid was, why aren't we thankful every day? Which I think is a pretty good place to start. So I'll just pose that question out there, and let's make some connections here. So as we begin, the first place to go is always within. Open up your heart to connect with your own divinity, your own essence, the core, the truth of who you are, which is beyond, so far beyond, just what we typically perceive ourselves to be. It's more than the physical. It's more than the mental. It's more than the emotional. It's more than our patterns, our behaviors. It's much more than that. So allow that to open up from within you like a fountain so that it, your light, so that your essence, so that your divinity fountains up from inside of you and spreads through your body, through your emotional body, through your mental body, through your energy field. And as you allow that, as you choose that, breathe into your divinity and really let yourself open to your truth, to your power, to your light. And I would just thank you for doing it, because you just increased the amount of light on the planet, the amount of soul on the planet, the amount of awakening on the planet. And that's the first step and the most important step that each of us take in awakening the whole planet, is to awaken ourselves. So let's take that connection to the planet and expand that as well. However you might choose to do that, I always like to open the soles of my feet and really just send my energy down to the very center of the earth, almost like laser beams. And not as a reflection of that light coming back to me, not as an obligation, but as a gift from the very center of the earth, light comes to me and to you. And let yourself fill up with that light. Fill up with that sense of support, that sense of connection, that sense that you are not alone. Wonderful. Now let's reach out in another direction. And again, how you do this is your own, but I tend to do it opening the crown or the heart or both. and open to those energies that are the energies of your angels and your guides and your spiritual teachers and mentors. And just let yourself breathe that energy into you, fill you up with it. And feel that level of support, that level of connection, as fully as you're able. Wonderful. And so now we reach out to the more direct community here of all those who are listening to this, whether live or through the recording. All the community of those who listen to this show and seek to move forward in this way, co-creating what we do here each week. And just feel that energy surrounding you and supporting you as you step forward in the ways that you most desire to go, in the ways that empower you the most. And once more, reach out and allow yourself to open to the energies of all the light workers on the planet, all those who are seeking this awakening, this empowering, this exposing of the truth that we are divine beings here to co-create together, and that we have the power to change what that co-creation looks like. And so just feel that wave of energy that is the energy of all the light workers, supporting, opening into, empowering, moving into their divinity more fully. Moving into our divinity more fully. Wonderful. So I thank you once again for walking through this process with me, for opening up to what we have to offer here. And I would like to start with that energy of Thanksgiving. And how important that is, not just on one day a year, but as an ongoing part of the process. For us to be grateful, to feel grateful. And to me, those are two different things. The feeling of gratitude often is a spontaneous thing that can just come up when something, especially when something surprises us that we are not expecting necessarily. Something good happens and, oh, wow, that's wonderful. We're not feeling great that day and somebody calls and lifts our spirits. You know, we get a surprise in the mail. We get a connection, a gift, anything that we weren't expecting. And that feeling of gratitude can be very, very spontaneous and just outpouring from within. But that's not all there is to it. And I really think that one of the most important things that we can do as individuals and as collectives when we come together is to set the intention to be grateful, to consciously choose to acknowledge those things that we have to be grateful for. And so, again, I like to choose, not that it's not a spontaneous thing as well, it very often is, but I like to choose to step into that gratitude. For instance, when it comes to those of you out there co-creating this with me, and those of you who might give me the feedback, send me the emails or the call or whatever, to just let me know what you got from the show, what else you might like to receive from future shows, etc. And that choice, to me, to step toward gratitude, is actually more important than the spontaneous, because the spontaneous I have no control over. That spontaneous feeling of gratitude that just pours up out of me, I have no control over that. And from, well, knowing the thousands of people that I've worked with and dealt with in my life, there are some people who are more gifted at that. They're more wired to have that automatic, spontaneous feeling of gratitude as an ongoing outpouring through them in their lives. And that's wonderful for them. But what about those of us who don't necessarily have that quite as often, quite as much? That's okay. That's okay. Because we can still choose to be grateful. And maybe it's a little bit different. Maybe this is something that gets cloudy because I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, sometimes, for instance, I'd get a gift that I didn't like for birthday or Christmas, whatever. And my parents, my grandparents, would invariably have me say thank you anyway. And it was stepping into that attitude of gratitude, so to speak, stepping into it, even though there wasn't necessarily that spontaneous automatic outpouring because I just received the thing I've been wanting most in the world. And yet it was a training toward stepping into gratitude consciously. And I think for me, that's what I try to remember, at least a little bit, a few times each day, is to step into gratitude consciously. And I can say this, from my personal experience, I believe the more we do that, the more we step into gratitude consciously. Call it a spiritual practice, call it a healing practice, call it whatever you might like to call it. But the more we step into it consciously, the more it opens to happen spontaneously. Because what we're doing is opening the door where those energies flow. And yes, sometimes at first we have to step in more consciously. And we have to look for the things to be grateful for. There are times when I've had it myself frequently in my life where it's hard to find something to be grateful for. And I know a lot of people out there who've had that as well. And yet, in those times, that's when it's even more important to try and find something. The old cliche about every cloud having a silver lining. Well, it's there. It's true. It's cliche for a reason. And if we can get into that habit of looking for the silver lining, of looking for finding the thing to be grateful for, it's going to help us move forward much more quickly. And so, again, paradoxically, as is often the case in spiritual truth, at least in my experience of it, there's paradox there. And that by stepping into gratitude with purpose, on purpose, we actually do get something in return. We get more in return. And so going to look for things to be grateful for when we can't find them, and thankfully, hopefully, most of the time, we do have those things to be grateful for. But when we don't, when we can step forward into that space of seeking to change our focus, because that's what blocks it. It's the perspective that we have. It's the way we're looking at it that might be presenting us from finding something to be grateful for. It may be the emotional upheaval that is with us in a given moment that is blocking us from shifting that perspective to find something to be grateful for. But when we do go and step into the energy of gratitude, I am thankful because, I feel grateful because, thank you for. When we step into that and we really breathe into it, it does open that emotion. Because everything that we are experiencing, we're experiencing through all levels of us. So when we can make that mental choice to step into gratitude, we will have an emotional response. It will come up at least a little bit. And the more we do that, the more we consciously step toward it. And we can even do it from a very, and this is the paradox I was talking about, we can even do it from a very selfish place. I'm going to step into gratitude because I want to get something. And I'll talk about selfishness maybe in a minute here. One of my favorite topics. But even stepping toward gratitude from that selfish place is going to get us a return. And so seemingly that's paradoxical. We do gratitude for mercenary reasons and our lives get better. They get more what we want them to be. And part of it is that we are changing how we're focusing on whatever it is we're experiencing. We start getting in that habit of looking for the positive, looking for the value, looking for the improvement, looking for whatever it is that's going to make our life better. And so that's a starting point, a suggestion to make gratitude a practice. And again, to carry it even further in that so-called mercenary direction where you're doing that to get something out of it. And again, back to that topic of selfishness. Selfishness has a bad rap. We have been so programmed. So many of the teachings are to put others before ourselves. And I would say that that is either utterly wrong or utterly a misinterpretation of what other masters have said. Because we can only give to others what we give to ourselves. If we don't have it in us, we can't give it to someone else. So if I don't choose to have love in my life, or I don't choose to have abundance in my life, or I don't choose to create whatever it is in my life, I can't offer that to others. And so I don't look at selfishness the way a lot of people do, as a bad thing. Now, I'm also not looking at it. There is one so-called level of selfishness that I don't think very many people go to very often that I wouldn't suggest. And that is specifically doing something to take something away from someone else and only doing it for that reason. I don't believe very many people do that at all, if any ever. We're always doing what we're doing to try and feel better ourselves, to feel our value. And sometimes the easiest way to do that is to make ourselves feel better, not to how we were a moment ago, but in comparison to how miserable somebody else is. And so mistreating others can become that, a way to try and feel better for ourselves. And being selfish and always demanding, etc., trying to get things out of them. Most people are doing that to try and feel their own sense of value. It's not because they actually believe they deserve it. It's because they're trying to get the feedback from you that they deserve it, if they can get it out of you, if they can get you to do it, if they can convince you that they deserve it, if they can force you to. And so that, for me, since it's such a rarity that anyone does, as far as I'm concerned, does things just for the purpose of making someone else feel bad. If they're doing that, they're doing it to make themselves feel better. And it's not the same thing as that pure selfishness, what I might look at as pure evil. But the selfishness that most of us indulge in is we're trying to figure out that we have value. And so the more we can, again, step into gratitude for what we have, the more we will open up, the more we can open up into whatever it is that we're still desiring, and we can get the reflection of our value through what we're creating. But again, the thing is, it starts with that choice to open into gratitude. And in order to do that, I have to step a little more into my own sense of worthiness. In order to be grateful, I believe we have to step into our own sense of worthiness a little bit more fully. Because in some ways, gratitude is like the punctuation at the end of a sentence. It completes it. It completes it. And so when we can step in, either spontaneously or by choice, and experience the gratitude for a certain situation in our lives, a certain person in our lives, a certain relationship, a certain interaction, certain thing that has come into our lives, then what that is, that's the period at the end of the sentence or the exclamation point at the end of the sentence that says, yes, I accept this. Yes, I choose to experience this fully. Yes, I deserve to experience this fully and receive that benefit. And so gratitude is actually a way to move more into our own sense of our worth. Because, again, another perspective, another way to look at that, is that the more we look at what is right or desirable or beneficial or, again, pick your positive term, in our lives right now, the more we're seeing the reflection that I must deserve this, that I must be worthy of this, otherwise I wouldn't have it. And so, anyway, my little diatribe on Thanksgiving and stepping into doing it in a more conscious way. Now, another thing that we tend to get into, especially in the United States and maybe the rest of the Western world, I don't know quite how much this is true. But as we enter Thanksgiving and then head toward Christmas and New Year's, it becomes a time when so many people are so stressed by expectations and by those family gatherings, those gatherings of those that we may have chosen in spirit, but wouldn't necessarily be our choice now. And yet we're tied to them by blood, by DNA, by history. And because they were there at the beginning and because they were there as we got programmed with the patterns, the family patterns that we run, they tend to be the ones who have the best ability to trigger us. And so that's something to just notice, to be aware of, and to look at. And so what I'd like to do is to touch in upon a couple of the questions that have been sent to me that kind of work with this particular topic a little bit. And one of those is a question about how do we protect ourselves from energy vampires, from negative energy, from malintentioned people. And the second one kind of continues that. It's from a different person, but they work very well together. And it talks about, for those of us who are sensitive to energy, and we go into, well, what this person describes as challenging situations, such as funerals or family reunions, and there's a lot of stuff in the air swirling around, energies and agendas that can be difficult to deal with. How can we best approach these situations without building huge walls around ourselves? And so let's talk a little bit about that. And ultimately, this is a question of relationship. This is a question of how to be in relationship with others in a way that is most empowering to us, no matter what the circumstances. But especially when we have a circumstance that is of this expanded level of stress, where we're at the family reunion, where we're at the Thanksgiving or Christmas or Hanukkah or whatever celebration, where the family's coming together more and more intensely than we typically do the rest of the year, perhaps. And how do we enter those situations and maintain our power, maintain our sense of self, maintain our sense of center? And it's a really good question. So thanks to those who sent those questions in. And thanks to all of you creating this with me by listening here today. The ways to approach this first, to me, are kind of like the way to approach, the way that I approach the beginning of the show now. It starts with the self. Come in when you know you're going into a situation like this in advance. Now, it's a little different if you get surprised by one. Let's say it's a surprise birthday party. We'll come to that in a moment, that kind of experience. But if you know you're going to go to the office Christmas party, or you know you're going to go to the family Christmas party, or you know you're going to go into a group where there's a lot of people around, this could even be a sporting event or a movie theater or whatever, where there's a lot of other people around and you don't have direct interaction necessarily with all of them, and yet you're in the overlapping energy field, you're in the mass consciousness of everyone. The place to start is to empower yourself going in. And so to do something to ground yourself, to consciously open up into that connection with your divinity, to fill yourself up with it. And then, again, to go connect with the earth. And, again, to connect with your guides and angels. Not to put them around you like an army or like bouncers, bodyguards protecting someone. But rather just to feel their presence, to open up into feeling their strength within you, feeling the energy of that partnership, which is at a higher level than most of our relationships that are with people in body. It's at a higher level because they're at a different vibration, holding space for us and giving us access to that space. One way that's been given in a fair number of channelings that is wonderful. Well, it starts with, again, what I said, connecting with our own empowerment, connecting with the earth. But then it's about breathing into the energy. And most often in the exercise, it's given to breathe in the energy of the Archangel Michael. And the way it's often described is as it's you merging with the energy of Archangel Michael. Now, what does that mean? Does it mean Michael is going to fill you up and fight your fights for you? No. What it means is, and this works with the law of resonance, it's about energetic resonance. When we are in contact with an energy that, whatever it may be, is a strong energy so that we can, and we open to feeling it. We open to feeling that energy. What it starts to do is vibrate that part of our energy field into higher expression. So if we merge with the energy of Archangel Michael, it's not because we want Archangel Michael to do anything for us in the sense of doing it through us, but rather what we are doing is awakening our own energy that is in resonance with Archangel Michael. It is in resonance with that energy of being strong and connected to divinity, within that energy of being courageous, within that energy of being able to take care of ourselves. And so certainly there are other beings that it can be useful to do this with as well. Another one of my personal favorites is doing that with Sekhmet. For those of you who don't know who Sekhmet is a lioness goddess in Egypt. And she is a fierce, fierce warrior. And it's not because I go out and do battle all the time, but it's because that is an energy for me that when I connect with it personally, my resonance of my own sense of inner knowing that I have the power to do whatever I set out to do goes up by leaps and bounds. And so that's the first place I would start, is with that three-prong approach to connecting into my own sense of power or your own sense of power, as the case may be. And then the second place I would go is an exercise that I first learned from one of the other people I've had as a guest on the show, BJ King. And it's an exercise that, well, again, it's about taking care of ourselves first. And I'll explain my understanding of it and the variation that I tend to do. And so the first thing that we do is open up. We've already done the grounding thing, connecting with our own divinity, etc. And so then what I do is I tend to open up my crown chakra, and most often it's the golden ray, but sometimes it's another color. So I'm not putting out any of these colors as this is the color you have to use when I do this exercise. But what I do is I just fill up my physical body with the golden ray. And once my body is full, then I just expand that out into the bubble that is commonly considered the aura. So Perhaps about 3 feet around. Some people might define that differently, but that's a comfortable place for that. And what I'm looking for this to be, what I'm choosing for this to be as I'm opening up to it, as I'm bringing it in, is this is my personal energy for the day or for this circumstance, whatever I'm going into. And so I'm going to fill myself up with that, and nobody else gets that. That's just for me. And again, this goes back to, maybe I should call it sacred selfishness. This is taking care of self first, so that as I'm more in my power, I have more power to offer. I have more to give. And so that's kind of the framework that this is in. And this is just, it's my energy. And I'm going to let that keep running. And I'm going to open up and I'm going to bring another energy in. And for me, this is often the cobalt blue ray. It doesn't have to be. And I'm going to do the same thing that I did with the golden ray. I'm going to first fill up my physical body. So these two energies don't interfere with each other. They can exist in the same space at the same time, like light and sound. So I fill up my body with the blue ray, and it's still got the golden ray in there. And then I fill up my aura out to 3 feet. And then I expand that blue bubble, the blue ball of energy that's surrounding me, out maybe to 10 feet. 20 feet, 15 feet, whatever feels good. Depends on how big the space is I'm going into and how many people are going to be there, perhaps. But expand that out. And when I'm turning this one on, I'm going to do this with all three of these energies. But when I'm turning this one on especially and the next one, I'm making sure that I leave the faucet on all the way. So there's a full flow going. And this is energy that, for me, acts as a buffer with the people that I am going to have direct interaction with. And especially going into one of these circumstances where it's a group that we don't necessarily trust all the energies that are going to be there, or all the people that are going to be there. I like this vision. I like to think of this kind of like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, or the Michelin Man. And so it's this it's this energy out there, oh, like in the cartoons where they shoot a cannonball at a big fat guy's stomach and it just bounces off. As people come close to you physically and they come within that space, it's almost like this energy gets pushed ahead of them. And this is the cobalt blue ray, especially using that ray, it is very, very calming. It's a calming energy. And so what you're doing is saying, okay, in our interactions, I'm choosing to have the energy of calmness there. Another ray that I will often use in this bubble is the pink ray, the ray of unconditional love. Although, again, if there's a larger sense of I might not be safe in this group, I'll tend to put the blue ray in there if I'm going to use this tool. but it's energy that is going to color the interaction. So anything coming from the other person is going to go through the blue ray and kind of get calmed down. And anything that's going to come out of me going to them is going to go through the blue ray and get calmed down before they receive it. And so it's a way of helping to keep the energies from getting out of hand, so to speak, from getting overwhelming, from getting ourselves attacked, if you will. If that energy might be out there, whether it's conscious or unconscious, it doesn't matter whether the person is consciously doing it, trying to get energy from us that way, or unconsciously doing it because it's a habit behavior pattern of theirs. It's a wonderful way to just kind of lessen things. Some people I know put mirrors out there, and the mirrors are specifically programmed that if anybody sends negative energy, it bounces right off the mirror and goes right back to them. That's a fine way to do it. I like this way because it kind of takes the negativity out of it by calming it down with that blue energy. And then, we're not done yet, third bubble. Turn on a faucet. This one typically for me is the milk white, pure white light, divine light. And again, same process, fill up the physical body, fill up the aura, fill up out to 10 feet where the second bubble is. And then I tend to take this one out to 30 feet. And this is the one that's kind of like the public drinking fountain. And so again, this one, you want to make sure that faucet is on full and flowing. So anyone who comes within that bubble of energy, if they need energy for whatever reason in their lives, this is there for them to drink from. It's a gift. It's a service that is offered to anyone I would come in contact with. And again, I don't have to directly be in contact with them. A 30-foot bubble, that's going to reach several aisles over in the grocery store. That's going to reach all the other drivers on most any road I'm going to be on, etc. And they're going to pass through it, and it's not imposed on them, but it's available. It's like those free newspapers that you can get when you need a new house. They're just there. If you want one, you take it. And so this is that kind of energy. It's just some divine energy. It's available if you want it. And if someone's coming toward you, specifically toward you, this can also help feed some of what they need, what they're desiring, before they get to you. So they're not coming at you from as needy of a place energetically. And so anyway, there's the basic tool. Between these two things, and quite frankly, you can do both of them a lot faster than it took me to just talk about them. You can do each step in each one of these in a couple of breaths, or faster once you get in the habit, perhaps, of doing it. And so this is a wonderful blueprint for going into groups of any kind that you might be unsure of how to handle the energies. The other thing to do before you go in, and perhaps before you do any of this stuff, or maybe after, it depends. For some people, it might be easier before they do this to try and do this next step. For some people, it might be easier after they do this when they feel more connected and more able to feel that support. But I would specifically go in and acknowledge any fear you might have, any trepidation you might have, any doubt you might have about how you're going to handle yourself in the situation with these people, or how some of these people might treat you based on past experience. And go in and breathe into it and say, I set the intention. I'm choosing to experience this in order to release it and do some writing and burn it, or tell someone, or talk to yourself in the mirror. But again, specifically, you're expressing it, you're feeling it, you're connecting with that fear, you're connecting with that doubt, you're connecting with that anxiety, specifically because you're choosing to release it. And again, what are the emotions? They are there, if they're negative emotions, to tell us one thing. If you'd like to be more comfortable, if you'd like to be happier, if you'd like to feel better, you need to change something in this area of your life. And so once the emotion of fear has come up about going into any kind of a social circumstance, then you taking steps to feel more empowered, to feel safer in that particular setting, in those particular circumstances, is going to be doing what the emotion wanted you to do, to take a step to change things. And so you got the message. If you're like me, I don't keep my voicemails forever. Once I get the message and I've taken action on it, I do my best to delete it, to get it out of my life. Same thing here. Once you get the message of that fear, that anxiety about this particular group, about this particular interaction, and everything that I just offered you can be done when you're going into a one-on-one interaction with someone as well. It doesn't have to be about groups, but it works very well with groups when you are. So whenever you're going to do that kind of an interaction and you take these steps to take care of yourself, I don't look at it as protection. I look at it as empowerment. Because protection is from that fear place. Protection is from that place of, I'm not empowered enough to take care of myself in this circumstance. And so I choose to go into it in that way, as I'm empowering myself. I'm stepping into who I am, my divinity. I'm feeling that connection to the earth. I'm feeling that connection to my guides. I'm bringing in Sekhmet or Michael or whoever else might feel right to do that with. I am opening up to these divine energies that I have available. I'm giving them, I'm sharing them out to those I directly interact with in that second bubble, and to the whole world at large in my larger bubble, anybody who comes in contact with me. And I'm choosing that because I have the power to do that. And that's walking into a space with confidence, with a sense of security, with a sense of safety, with a sense of trust in myself and in the interactions that I'm going to have. And then if I still have that fear hanging on back there, then that's going to get in the way of me doing some of this stuff. So for me, I like to do it before I do any of this. If I'm going to move some of that fear, if I'm doing this because some fear has been triggered about an upcoming interaction, I like to move the fear first and just sit down and set that intention. I'm feeling this fear. Fear, thank you for coming up. I get the message. I'm going to make these changes. I'm going to do this and this and this and this so that I can feel better stepping into this interaction. And just breathe down into it and thank it for coming and imagine it going. Imagining with each inhalation that air is getting down there to the fear, and it's almost acting like a fire hose, just washing it away, pressure washing your fear out, although pressure is not the best image to give there. But just getting it out. So with each exhalation, you're exhaling the fear. And with each inhalation, you're bringing in more of your commitment to yourself, of more of your choice to take care of yourself. And, well, that's a pretty good blueprint as far as I'm concerned. The last part of the second question that someone put forth here was also about applying this to watching the news when some major cataclysm or some major negative event is gone on. And I think in some ways this is a good thing, you know, to apply there. But for me, there's a difference there. And I choose to step into compassion there for the suffering, et cetera, for all of those people. But one of the places I specifically don't go is into responsibility. It's not my job to save those people. They're having their experiences. And at a soul level, they're there because they chose to be there. And that's not an easy lesson for some people to get. Some people, and again, my personal opinion, as is everything on this show, my personal opinion is that there's a lot of people trying to save the world because they're trying to find their value. And so anytime something happens, they're going to spend hours and hours sending energy there to try and fix it, to try and save things, etc. And I'm not saying it's a bad idea to ever send energy to any place where something's going on. But one way, and this has been reiterated in the channelings over and over again, one way that I like to do that, if I'm going to do it, is to send it to the earth there, not the people there. Because those people are dealing with a lot. And we are only going to allow into our energy fields what we feel we deserve. And so all these people are just sending energy, trying to heal everyone who's there, who's injured, etc. Those people who are injured, those people who are dying, those people who are suffering, they are individuals. They have the right to choose their path. And when we send this energy to them and push it on them, and again, this for a lot of people will not make sense, but when we push it on them, we are taking away their free will. We're saying, for my sense of comfort, for my sense of value, I need you to stop suffering so much. I need you to stop making me look at so much pain because you're in pain. And these people will only allow in the energy that they believe they deserve. And so if we're sending all this extra energy that they don't believe they deserve, they actually have to use some of their energy in their defenses to keep that energy we're sending to try and help them out. So we're actually taking some of the energy that they could be using for their own personal healing and causing them to have to use it for protection. I know that flies in the face of a lot of teachings. But here's the approach that has always been suggested that goes with this. if you want to send light, prayers, healing, whatever, to another person, unless they have specifically asked you to do so, or they specifically asked a friend that you know who asked you to gather as many healers as you can to send me energy. So unless you specifically know a specific person who is seeking the energetic help from you, send the energy, instead of to the person, send it to their guides and angels. And that's kind of like sending it to their bank account. It's kind of like you want to do something for someone else instead of just handing them cash that they may go spend on whatever you don't want them to spend it on. You go make a deposit into their bank account. Or in another way of doing it, you buy them some bonds that will mature and give them money down the line. And if you send energy, you send your prayers, you send the healing energy to their guides and angels, you send it with the intention that this is offered as a gift for this person or these people to the degree and in the timing that they are ready to receive it. That is the way to be in the highest integrity, because we are on a free will planet. The angels don't just come down here and interfere in our lives all the time. We need to ask for their help. We need to open for their help. Well, why should we as humans think that we have carte blanche to do whatever we want by sending all these prayers, all this love, all this healing all around the world to fix people we've never even met, when the angels won't do that? When the guides won't do that? This is about us honoring each other and stepping into responsibility for our core place first, being selfish first, taking care of ourselves first. And then the more we radiate power, the more it's like that outer bubble. Our energy becomes an energy that, if other people have resonance and they're seeking to expand an energy within themselves, if we're already vibrating to that energy, then it can help awaken it within them and help them move toward coming to express that fully in themselves. And that's much more the gift that we are here to do than to try and save the people we've never met. Now, I'm not saying don't give to charity. I'm not saying don't seek to help out in ways that are direct. But even in those ways, the people going in there to actually give the charitable contributions, they're not going forcing their food on people. They're not going forcing their medicine. They're going in and offering it. And the people come to receive it who come to receive it. So, anyway, that is enough about that. Now, for all of you out there who are listening and have been doing or are interested in any of the gateways, the next gateway activation I will be offering on Saturday, December 10th. That's the day of the full moon. There is also an eclipse, a partial eclipse, I believe, that day. So it's going to be a little bit amplified by that as well. And we will not only be doing the full moon energies that day, we will also be doing the gateway activation for the solstice, which is later in the month. So they're going to open two gateways, the gateway of Thanksgiving, what we were just talking about, and the gateway of plenty. And I thought that was very interesting because I could feel the energy of it, but I kept wanting to call it abundance. And they finally got clearly across to me that it's about plenty. And I sat with that, and it does feel better to me than abundance or prosperity, either one of those. Maybe those words just have too much attached to them of expectation, of trying to do it, or of the struggle to get there. But plenty for me is a big open energy. So that's going to be a very, very exciting thing. My plan is in the next couple of days to get that information out to everybody. But it will be December 10th. So that's the message from today's sponsor, which is the Gateway 2011-2012 activations, channeled by yours truly. And now let's do a little channeling here, see what the other side may have to offer to today's equation. So as always, just allow yourself to breathe in, deepen your breathing. I'll do the toning and bring them in, whoever it may be. Hello, dear ones. This is the Archangel Michael come to be with you today. Welcome. Welcome, welcome. And so, what we would like to offer today, you already have been given the exercise, but take the opportunity in this moment to just consciously breathe into that merge with us. We'll do that as the starting point. For some people, it is easier to imagine, if you will, that we are standing in front of you and that you embrace us, you give us a hug. And as you do so, we melt together and our energies merge as one. For others, it is easier almost to perceive us coming down, like Superman landing, coming into your head and landing inside of you. But the most important thing is to breathe in. And to literally allow yourself to literally choose to receive our energies as fully as possible through you, as fully as possible expressing through you. And so, just take a few breaths, if you will, and allow yourself to connect with us. Now, the reason we wanted to start there is that it makes it easier for what is to come next. And that is to consciously choose to feel strong. Now, this is not about let's pretend. This is about connecting into those places in your body where you do feel open, where you do feel strong, where you do feel ready, where you do feel safe, where you do feel secure in the moment. And just take yourself through your body from your toes on up and feel which parts of you feel good, which parts of you feel numb, which parts of you feel stressed, which parts of you feel tense, which parts of you feel open. And as you come to one of those parts that feels open, what we want to clarify for you is that that is a feeling of strength. Many people have this bodybuilder image of strength. And it's about bulk and it's about rigidity. But true strength is openness. True strength is not holding on to fear. When fear is felt and it moves through. It is let go of. And so, as you move through, go back through your body again. And as you come to one of the places where there is tension, or where there is stress, or where there feels like constriction, take a deep breath and imagine that the breath is golden, is liquid sunlight, and that you're breathing it right into that place where there is stress, where there is discomfort, where there is pain, where there is anxiety, where there is any negative feeling or constriction. And as you breathe in, it's like being outside in the sun on a warm day, not a hot day, a warm day, being warmed by the sun, perhaps getting up out of the shadow of a tree that you were lying in, and then you step out into the sunlight and it just warms you. You relax as you step into that warmth. And you're allowing that opening, that relaxation to move through you. As you move through the places in you where there is extra tone, extra tension, extra pain, stress, etc. Helping to get that feeling of openness. And as you breathe into the places within you where you already feel that openness, step into the gratitude. and step into the gratitude as the energy shifts in those places where you did not initially feel that openness. For the more you step into that, the more you will open, the stronger you will be, the safer you will feel, the more comfortable you will be in creating your world. So, breathe your way through that. Take your time. And use it. Use it. And allow yourself to feel the strength that is openness more and more in your lives. And know that, whether you are choosing to consciously merge with us or not, our attributes are already within you. You are already strong. You just need to remember to let your strength out. And that, whether you are merging with us consciously or not, we are with you. Always. Much love to you, dear ones. Namaste. All right. Well, here we are, come to the end of another show. Thank you for joining me today to co-create this time together, whether you listened live or listened to the recording. I cannot create this without you. And of course, let me know what you think. Email, call, whatever. Give me your feedback. Give me your suggestions. Doug, go ahead and hit those chimes whenever you're ready. I will be back same time next week, same place. I hope you'll join me again out there in the truth within. Remember, you never know where this show will go, and you never know where you will go until you get there. So let yourself free. Open up. Step into that safety. Step into that strength. And choose. And you'll get places you did not dream possible. And I'll see you there. Much love, my friends. Namaste.